It's 12:37. Breezy and cold conditions are expected for the next couple of days as a large upper-level low-pressure system settles south into the Great Lakes. Weak disturbances rotating around the low will produce periods of light snow and flurries across the Midwest through tomorrow night. High temperatures today will range from the low 20s in southern Wisconsin to the mid-40s in southwestern Missouri. Lows tonight will range from near zero in southern Wisconsin to the mid-20s in southern Missouri. The forecast for east central Illinois this afternoon, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries. The high 30. The wind out of the northwest at 15 to 20 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Tonight, cloudy with scattered flurries. The low 14. The wind out of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Again, scattered flurries. The high 25. West wind, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with scattered flurries, the low 13. The wind continuing from the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Saturday, partly sunny with scattered flurries, the high 22. The wind out of the northwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts to 25. Saturday night through Sunday, partly cloudy. Lows around 11, the high around 25. Sunday night through Monday night, mostly cloudy. Lows in the upper teens, highs in the upper 20s. At noon central time, temperatures across Illinois and Indiana ranged from the 20s north to the 40s south. Most locations reported cloudy skies. Chicago and Bloomington Normal reported 27 degrees, in Danville 28, 32 in Effingham, 40 in Carbondale, 25 at South Bend, Lafayette 28, 32 at Terre Haute, Indianapolis 33, Evansville 40. Willard Airport reported cloudy skies at the top of the hour, 27 degrees, the dew point 19, the wind out of the west at 23, giving us a wind chill of 12, the relative humidity 72%, the barometric pressure 29.70 and falling, and at 12:39, 27 degrees in Urbana on the campus of the University of Illinois. NPR's Laura Seidel is in Las Vegas, where she's covering the Consumer Electronics Show. She spoke with Morning Edition host Steve Inskeep about what's hot at this year's expo.
I understand you started off by buying a pedometer. How much have you walked so far?
Well, I would say yesterday alone, I walked over 5 miles, going back and forth from press conferences and demos and luxury hotels.
Wow. Okay, so what did you see?
I saw what I would say the big theme this year is connectivity. So you've got all kinds of connected devices, which we've seen in the past, but what's particularly interesting this year is that you're seeing a lot of connected devices that are talking to each other. So your phone is talking to your TV, things like that. So device talks to device.
Meaning that I can pick up my telephone and what, call up a program, call up a movie, use it as a remote? What are you talking about?
Well, a variety of things. I think my favorite right now connected device, Sony Ericsson just put out a new phone, or they're about to put out a phone, the Xperia Arc. And this phone, you can, say, watch a movie while you're coming home from work on the train. And when you get home, if you haven't finished the movie, you can connect the phone to your TV and finish watching the movie.
Oh, in the bigger screen that you've presumably got at home now, I suppose.
Exactly. So all those devices are talking to each other, you know, and you're going to have tablet computers that are able to connect to your TV and all sorts of stuff like that. And then there's the cars.
Well, let's talk about the cars. A gentleman was telling me this story about the notion that you could be listening to the radio on your phone, which people now do, internet radio. You get in the car and the car notices that you're listening to the radio and picks it up in the car speakers. Could that be true?
Absolutely. That is distinctly possible, because what you're starting to see are internet-connected cars. So this year, Toyota is going to come out with its Entune system. They're going to start putting this in their cars, and there's basically going to be in your car a internet-connected device. There'll be a screen, a touch screen. It'll also have voice recognition. It'll have open table, so you'll be able to, for example, make a reservation at the restaurant you're going to. Let's hope that the voice recognition works well and that you're not using your fingers while you're doing that. But you'll have things like that. You'll also have the possibility of devices that will connect to older cars. So there's a company called Mavizon Technologies, and they've got this device that'll connect to most cars made after 1996. And it will connect your car to the internet. And, for example, if you can't find your car in a parking lot, it'll send a signal to your iPhone telling you where your car is. It'll,
right? Little GPS direction to find it.
Exactly. No, it's great. And believe me, I could use that.
Well, I'd like to know, Laura Seidel, I mean, you cover this all the time. Even the new stuff may be a little old to you. Is there some device that you've run across that really made you stop in your tracks?
Well, here was one that I just found kind of amusing. So, you know, we've had radar detection systems in cars for a while. It lets you know when you're driving along if there's going to be a police car that's trying to track whether you're going too fast. Well, now they have one that is a social radar device. So if your car sees that there is a radar system nearby, it will tweet to other people who have the system and let them know that the cops are there with a speed trap.
Laura Seidel, drive safely out there in Las Vegas, okay?
All right. Thanks a lot, Steve.
NPR's Laura Seidel is at the Consumer Electronics Show.
And she spoke with NPR's Steve Inskeep. Here's one way you can sum up television viewing in 2010. There was more and there was less. NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports on Nielsen's ratings for the year.
A TV record was broken last year.
He's going to score 16 yards!
106.5 million people watched the New Orleans Saints win their first Super Bowl, making it the most watched TV event ever. It beat the record previously held by the final episode of MASH in 1983. It had 105.9 million viewers.
And a lot of people thought that record would never be topped.
Stephen Battaglio, business editor for TV Guide, says that's because people have so many more channels today than they did back in 1983. The slices of the pie have gotten a lot smaller. Consumers can also watch TV whenever they want. Digital video recorders, or DVRs, are now in 38% of all homes, up 30% from last year. Battaglio thinks that's partly why only a live sports event could break MASH's record.
A live event, like the Super Bowl, you've got to be there. You've got to be in front of the set so you can talk about it the next day and be a part of the national conversation.
Sports dominated the top 10 cable ratings for 2010. The NFL on ESPN, Major League Baseball on TBS. The biggest non-sports hit on cable was TNT's Rizzoli and Isles, a police drama starring Angie Harmon.
Did you actually tackle him?
Yes, like a linebacker.
DVRs helped Mad Men more than any other show.
So as of today, Sterling Cooper Draper Price will no longer take tobacco accounts.
Its audience nearly doubled when you count DVR playback. The Usual Suspects topped Nielsen's ratings for regularly scheduled series last year. NBC Sunday Night Football, Dancing with the Stars, and in the number one and two spots, American Idol. The amount of time Americans spent watching TV remained steady at about 34 hours per week. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News.
Even occasional viewers of primetime television, those who barely watch TV at all, have likely seen the work of director Paris Barclay. He has directed old favorites like ER and hot new shows like Glee, plus The West Wing, Lost, CSI, and more. Currently, he's executive producer for the show In Treatment on HBO. NPR's Netta Ulaby has this profile.
In a dumpy, dim editing room, Paris Barclay and his editor, Joe Hoback, are intently scrutinizing a scene from In Treatment. They're looking for flaws in a scene where a teenage boy is showing his therapist pictures on a camera.
Go to the next one.
Yeah.
Ew!
So that's this guy.
Wait. What is that shot that's happening when he gets up and just becomes a nothing shot? What is that?
Barclay sprawled on a lumpy brown couch as if he's in therapy. He's figuring out the best shots with his editor, who's sitting in front of a TV and manipulating the editing software.
The shot basically starts here, so.
It starts there?
Well, there's a big pause before he leans in.
This is how you direct a TV show, once everything's in the can. There's a real challenge to making a therapist talking to a client look interesting. The setup's so inherently static, it's kind of a joke on set.
You can say, okay, now everybody get ready. Here comes our action sequence.
Someone's getting up off the couch.
Basically, getting up and going out the door becomes the action sequence.
But Paris Barclay actually does direct action sequences in gritty police procedurals.
Grayson, get the hell down. Call for backup now.
And he's orchestrated flashy musical numbers on Glee.
Big wheel keep on turning.
And he's directed a famous West Wing walk and talk.
Porous borders between the U.S. and Canada. That's the governors of Washington.
I'm booked 6 months in advance. I'm famous for doing a lot of episode number twos. After someone has spent, like, millions on the pilot, I'm the person that they call and say, okay, we're doing the second episode, and we only have $2.95. But we want it to look exactly like the $10 to $20 million pilot.
The guy who created Glee, Ryan Murphy, has credited Barclay with helping Glee find its groove. Barclay is known for immersing himself in the visual culture of the shows he directs, the look, rhythm, language, sensibility, to bring out each show at its best.
It's not about saying, oh, this would be so fantastic in treatment. I'm going to shoot it like Quentin Tarantino would, just to show how incredibly clever I can be.
A lot of people don't understand there's not a lot of continuity in television directing.
You're in and out. It's a pretty thankless task sometimes for directors.
Kurt Sutter created the FX show Sons of Anarchy. It's a critically acclaimed series about a gun-smuggling motorcycle gang.
Got a garage full of AK-47s. Need a place to assemble and store them.
Got a strip club out on 95. Huge basement, private.
Sounds perfect.
Sutter brought in Paris Barclay to direct the third episode.
In my mind, it was the episode where I really had a sense of, okay, this is really the formula that works.
And now he's got Barclay on board as basically a director in residence.
Quite honestly, thematically, there's nobody that understands what it's more to be an outsider or an outlaw, if you will, than a gay black man.
Before Paris Barclay became the first black board member of the Directors Guild, before his Emmys and Peabody Award, he was a kid from a rough Chicago neighborhood. He won a scholarship to an elite Midwestern boarding school.
I was going to be the first black student in this very small, very white school in Indiana, which, by the way, is the home of the KKK. And I thought to myself, I need some backup. So I didn't want to go alone.
So he finagled another scholarship for his brother. In high school, Barclay developed a taste for theater. At Harvard, he wrote for Hasty Pudding shows. When he graduated in 1979, he went from advertising to directing music videos for the likes of LL Cool J. Now, Paris Barclay is one of a very few openly gay black decision makers in Hollywood. He's used to hearing the same line from other industry executives when they see scripts with characters like him.
That's just too much. Is it enough that they're just gay, or is it enough that they're just black, as if, you know, one cross is enough to bear? But if they're gay and black, I just think that's just too overwhelming.
Barclay and his husband have adopted two kids from the Los Angeles foster care system.
There's 35,000 kids in foster care, just in this sort of LA County region.